is a paraphrased version of verses 14 to 30. It's a story about three servants. Two did it God's way, but sadly one did not, and ran into big trouble. God's kingdom is like a man leaving home to travel. There were no breaks, strikes, or flight cancellations. He told his servants to manage his investments wisely while he was away. He decided how much each servant would be able to care for. He gave one servant £5,000. He gave another servant £2,000. And he gave a third servant £1,000. Then he left. The servant who got £5,000 quickly invested the money wisely. This sum earned £5,000 more. It was the same with the servant who had £2,000. That servant invested the money and earned £2,000 more. But the servant who got £1,000 went away, dug a hole in the ground made by the HSBC at 0% interest. After a long time, the master came home. He asked the servants what they did with his money. The servant with 5,000 brought that amount plus 5,000 more. The servant said, "Master, you trusted me to care for 5 bags of money, so I used them to earn 5 more." The master answered, "You've done good, my friend. You are a good servant who can be trusted. You did well with that small amount of money, so I will let you care for much greater things. Get in the Bentley and come to my mansion and share my happiness with me." Then the servant who got 2 bags of money came to the master. The servant said, "Master, you gave me 2,000, so I used your 2,000 to earn 2,000 more." The master answered, "You've done good also, my friend. You are a good servant who can be trusted. You did well with a small amount of money, so I will let you care for much greater things. Get in the Bentley and come to my mansion and share my happiness with me." Then the servant who had 1,000 came to the master. The servant said, "Master, I knew you were a very hard man and a dodgy dealer. You harvest what you did not plant. You gather crops where you did not put any seed. So I was afraid. I went and hid your money in the HSBC. Here is the 1,000 you gave me." The master answered, "You've done bad, you lazy waster. You should have put my money in a high interest account. Then when I came home, I'd get my money back, and I'd also get the interest that my money earned." So the master told his other servants, "This is the time for levelling up. Take the 1,000 from that servant and give it to the servant who has 10,000. Everyone who uses what they have will receive more. They will have much more than they need, but people who do not use what they have will have everything taken away from them." Then the master said, "Make that useless servant redundant, without any redundancy pay, and give that person a bad reference. A person like that will never work again, and can cry and grind their teeth and reflect on their poor performance."
Beautiful rendition. I did it my way, had the wrong priorities, and went in the wrong direction. Oh dear. Now, have you ever been there? Yeah, I expect you have. We've all been there. As Christians, we prefer to do it God's way, don't we? But we get diverted. We get the wrong priorities. We find ourselves in the wrong direction. But God is gracious. Because often I've been going in the wrong direction, somehow he turns it round, and we look back, don't we? We look back and we think, oh, praise God, you did intervene. Now, there's a little clue up there on the left-hand side as to who wrote this. I know just how much I rely on my faith to guide me through the good times and the bad. Each day is a new beginning. I know that the only way to live my life is to try to do what is right, to take the long view, to give my best in all that day brings, and to put my trust in God. Now, I wonder who said that. I can tell you for a start, it's not Boris Johnson. It was the Queen. Wasn't that a marvellous statement on behalf? And as I say there, that to me is a person who wants to do it God's way. And we would do well to follow that example. But the example that we really follow is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took the blows. He did it his way. Now, we'll move on to another slide if we may. I did it my way, the wrong priorities. And here is a lesson that we need to learn about managing our golden calf. Everybody's got a golden calf. You didn't know it, did you? But you have. You're hiding it somewhere. I've got a golden calf. And the Bible says, Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Easier said than done. Because along the bottom there, what you'll see is some of the golden calves that we might have. Our homes can become a golden calf. It's things that take every bit of our energy. I'm going to miss the next picture out just for a moment. Then again, to football. I mean, in Paris, did you see people were crying because they couldn't see their team? They were absolutely devastated. Their lives were ruined. And it was all because something had gone wrong with a football match. So, you know, these things can grip us. Everything is good, isn't it? But when it actually takes up a whole life, and then there's the music scene. We have an idol just beyond Saxton. He lives in Bennington. Do you know who that is?
Yes,
Ed Sheeran. Phoebe works in the St. Elizabeth Hospice as a volunteer. And there's this great big cutout of Ed Sheeran. And people come in for selfies with him. That is a strange worship. But where did this golden calf come from? God had saved the Israelites, hadn't he, from a life of slavery in Egypt. And he'd brought them out. And Moses was going up the mountain to commune with God, and he was going to get the Ten Commandments. And the people got bored. They got so bored, they said to Aaron, come on, let's have a bit of a good time. So I think there were about 2 million people. So those people had taken the gold from their friends, strangely enough, in Egypt. They'd taken it all away. And Aaron said, well, let's make a golden calf. That would be a nice thing to do, wouldn't it? And they said, oh, yes, it would. Let's make the golden calf. So they had this heap of gold. They made this great big golden calf. And they fell down and worshipped it. Can you believe it? Can you believe that they had been saved from all this and they went down this road?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. But there we do it all the time because we've got a golden calf. I have to mention cars, don't I? Oh, that is my golden calf. I have to be very careful about them. I've become obsessive about them. Nearly as obsessive as I am about Phoebe. But that would be another story. Right, so let me flick over now. To the next. So these are priorities God's way. God's way. In Jesus we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. If you forget everything else this morning, remember that one. Remember that one. In Jesus we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins through his blood. Let that one just permeate your minds. Then look at this. Since we have been raised to a new life in Christ, let's set our sights on the realities of heaven. Wow, that's a change of direction, isn't it? Where Jesus sits in the place of honour at the right, God's right hand. That's a good thing to remember, isn't it? When we're setting priorities. Heaven, greatest priority. Cars, lesser priority. Football matches, Ed Sheeran. All in context, all very good, especially E-type Jaguars. All very good, all very good, but we must not become obsessed. So don't be conformed to this world, this is what the Bible tells us, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that we may prove the perfect will of God. Now let's look at going in the wrong direction, the next slide. I did it my way, the wrong direction. Oh dear, how often we've been in the wrong direction. Now, I used to have TomTom's app now, and in that, because I do like to be instructed by a young woman rather than a man, because I find it more acceptable, and she used to say, turn around when possible. Now, Garmin is different because it actually recalculates your journey, and as you watch the little screen, you suddenly find yourself going around the roundabout and up the other way. But it's all very seamless. The little instructor doesn't say anything, but you find yourself going the right direction. And what I would say is that God talks to us in a similar way. Sometimes he says, turn around when possible, and it can be very clear. Other times you're going along and your direction is changed, just like that. So this is a story here. The sea grew more and more tempestuous. The crew of the ship asked Jonah, what to do? He responded, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Dear, oh dear, do you know where Jonah was supposed to go? He was supposed to go to Nineveh, and he was there to tell the people to repent of their sin. But he thought, you know, I'm not very keen on those Nineveh people. They're not quite my scene. I'm just a little bit upmarket from there. So I'll go in another direction, and perhaps God will notice. God did notice. And there was this sea, of course, this sea. And what I've got here is when we go in the wrong direction, sometimes we get cast into a sea of anxiety, don't we? And then we get swallowed by our own problems. When that's happening, that's the time to turn around and go back towards Nineveh. Now, here is a quiz. What did the whale say to Jonah? You make me sick. And I think that's when we're going in the wrong direction. We've got to remember that, because we make ourselves sick as well. So, let me press on. So this is how to travel in the right direction. So here's a very, very good scripture, isn't it? God's word is a lamp to guide our feet and to light our path. How can that be relevant in today's world? But the thing is, you have to switch off other lights and save energy, don't you? It's a very good thing. We think about switching off other lights now to save energy. And there are so many lights in this world. It's all over the internet, it's everywhere, that you should follow this way. You should do this. If you follow the influencers on the internet and you make your face up like this, then you'll have absolute happiness. It don't work, actually. So switch off those other lights and follow this one. God's word is a lamp to guide our feet and a light to our path. And then this particular scripture is very special to me, because it says, God says, before they even call, I will answer. While they are speaking, I will hear. How good is that? Now, I got myself a promotion to a job, and they called me a director. And I thought that was rather good. And it was in the housing world, and one of the first jobs they gave me was, well, I couldn't actually do it because I didn't know what to do. Now, just to give you a little context, amongst 5,000 houses, we had 36 shelter teams, which we usually staffed by a warden. It sounds terrible now, doesn't it? They call them scheme managers now, so it's much nicer. And the scheme manager was responsible for, say, 30 people in the scheme. And what was happening was that during the night, they were constantly being disturbed, you know, because the people were elderly and they needed attention. So the council thought, what we'll do, we'll introduce a call system. Now, in these bungalows and flats, they had these red lines. I don't know if you ever remember them. And there'd be one in the living room, one in the bathroom. But of course, if you're on the floor, it's not much good, is it? You have to crawl across to pull this red. So the idea was these, they call it the mattress, and you wore it around your neck. Do you remember those? Because the digital world has made it all obsolete. But in 1989, when I was involved, we were right on the cutting edge. Cutting edge of everything. And we got to market this scheme. This mattress thing that you pressed, and it rang a telephone in your home, and the telephone rang a call centre, and the person could speak to the person who was lying on the floor, perhaps, couldn't move. They'd say, Mrs. Murgatroyd, are you okay? And Mrs. Murgatroyd would say, no, I'm on the floor, send an ambulance. So it was all very, very good. But my task was I'd got to market it. And I'm not a marketing man, am I? How am I going to market this thing? And they said, and tomorrow the publicity people are coming in, and the problem for me with the publicity people coming in was that I was not in a position to think about this very much, because in those days it wasn't digital. When the publicity people came in, it was all, you know, they did artistic work, real artistic work. I couldn't do anything about this. I've got to come up with the thing that the marketing slogan and all this, and I've got to do it by the morning. And I said, you know what you do? You sit in the kitchen table and you keep writing things, you keep trying things. And about 9 o'clock, I thought, what about reading the Bible? Then I thought, well, there's no help in marketing of a call system, is it? But I did, and I read this. God says, before they even call, wouldn't that be good for a warden system? Hey, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. And suddenly it came to me in a blinding flash. The system will be called Care and Listening Link. And it was marketed to that for about 20 years until the digital system took over. So here is the way, you see, in which God's word can actually work when you're at work. So, yes, that's travelling the right direction. Now, we're going to go on because we need to be very, very focused and very, very modern in our approach to life. It's the rising cost of living, 2022. The Bible is right there on the cutting edge. You keep hearing about the cost of living, but here the Bible has the answers. 11 out of 39 of Jesus' parables deals with dilemmas arising from money and possessions. Nearly 25% of Jesus' words in the New Testament deal with biblical stewardship. Isn't that amazing? There are more scriptures on money and possessions than faith and prayer combined. The Bible is your money-saving expert. Cutting edge. It was there before Martin Lewis. Way before Martin Lewis. The answers to your problems. In a church that I know, they had a welfare fund. And this particular family kept asking for some money from the welfare fund because they couldn't make ends meet. And in the end, one of the leaders said, I think I better go and see those people and try and help them, because we keep pumping money in, but the problem doesn't resolve. So along he went, and he went through all their costs and things, and he was able to find things. You know, we always have costs and things that we've forgotten about the keeper crew, don't we? Standing orders and oh, we dealt with all those. We got all those lined up. And he thought, yes, job done. Everything is very, very happy now. So he came away, and then about 6 months later, they made another request to the welfare fund. And he went back and he said, there's somehow I can't square the circle. There's £40 have gone sort of missing in all this equation. And the lady said, oh, that's my husband's Sky football subscription. And do you know, they said, but that would solve your problem. But he couldn't live without it. But you see, if we look at the Bible, there are ways in which we can live without these things. This football subscription had become the golden calf. And then finally, so I can see time rushing away, there's ever here. Famous legacies. What will we leave behind? Some people say we leave everything behind, but just wondering what we could actually smuggle in. I don't think we can. And here's about the good and faithful servant. This is about, you know, we need to do the things now. And you may not think, oh, I can't give a huge legacy behind. I can't, you know, what am I going to do? Do you know, encouraging people. Encouraging people. That's a selfless thing to do, isn't it? Because you might encourage somebody to do something amazing that you can't do yourself. You can leave that encouragement behind. Now, I have got a little quiz for you. So the first one is, Tim Berners-Lee, what did he leave for us? He's not dead, I know, but what is his legacy? Anybody know? Sorry? He's got it. He's right on the money. It's the World Wide Web. Yeah. What a thing to have left behind. Good and bad. But there we are. Now the next one. Now what a lovely name. This looks like the name of an inventor, does it? Percy Shaw. What did Percy Shaw leave for us? Yes! Thanks for knowing that! Yes, cat's eyes. Percy Shaw. With road safety cat's eyes. The animal rights people don't like me saying cat's eyes. Road reflectors. They are correct. Okay. Now the next one. Now, Friedrich Meischer. I don't know if that's the way to pronounce the German name. He discovered it. But Watson and Crick made it accessible. What was it?
DNA.
God, these people are vile. Yeah. DNA, that's right, yes. I'll let Diane tell you what that word is. Deoxyribonucleic acid. DNA, we'll keep it to DNA. And now, here is the final one, the one of greatest value. Jesus, the Son of God, and I'll tell you this one. Let us reveal it. If I go away, the Comforter will come to you. Yes, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. May God bless his word to us all. Amen.
Amen.